In PUC, I am asking questions to nomad artists for chasing their negligible pleasures, daily strange habits, thoughts, which leads them to their right place or to their creative triggers. Maybe you like to put your finger into your coffee before you drink it? I'm after you. Hi, I am Ekin. You are listening PUC. PUC is an onomatopoeia, which is a word that phonetically imitates a sound. I made up this word for describing the sound of when throwing a stone into the water for a short story that I wrote when I was in high school. So you throw the stone and when it meets with the water, it makes PUC. For me, this word is a very pure and fulfilling description for that kind of sound, and it gives a very quotidian, even negligible pleasure. And I make an analogy between this and a creative process, creating something large or small, and feeling the pleasure of the output or the process itself. And the output may have individual or communal effects either. And I will call this thing as PUC. I am a sound artist and content creator from Turkey, and I will talk with artists from Turkey about their PUCs. I will ask them one or two questions about their works. For this episode, I don't have anyone because I wanted to start with myself, one of my own PUCs. And now we will listen to it and I will talk about it. For this piece, I used my sound recordings and the sounds that I found in the internet. This is a kind of micro composition, not in a granular level, but which is an articulation of 1 to 3 seconds of fragments of sounds. The idea was writing a sound diary about the separate life events, relating the small unrelated sequences from quotidian happenings. This practice is one of my individual PUCs because I can observe and listen my environment more consciously through it. Hi, I am Ekin. You are listening PUC. Today's guest is Emre Öztürk. He is an electronic music performer, DJ and founder of Algorave Istanbul. Hi, Emre.
Hi, Ekin.
What is the meaning of Emre?
Emre means minstrel, such as we have in the eastern regions of Turkey, like Kars and Ardahan. And it also stands for wise person, as far as I know. So that's the meaning of my name.
Okay, thank you. So you recently have written an essay about virtual electronic dance music events. Can you give us a bit detail about it?
Sure. It's an academic work I've done last year, and I actually continue to do it. And the paper I've written, the name of the paper I've written is Virtual Race, Anonymity and Equality, the Possible Outcomes of the Global Pandemic. The reason why I choose this name is that I attended a virtual rave early in the March in the first days of pandemic. And I had a chance to talk to one of the performers. Of course, as it was a virtual event, I didn't know his or her name and or whatever. So yeah, and then I found out that she was actually a trans person. So that actually light a bubble in my head, and I wanted to conduct a research about it because she told me that in such events and physical events before the pandemic, she had some hard times to find a space, find a space for performing because of her identity. But in the virtual race, in the early days of the virtual race, it didn't exist, and it was easier to exist there. So that's why I wanted to conduct a research about the impacts of anonymity and the virtual events. And I'm currently also still investigating the possible outcomes, as I mentioned.
Do you think it will be possible to practice more gender fluidity also in physical world, thanks to the change that come with virtual events?
I believe that sure it can contribute to have some more fluid identities, because what the virtual reality events basically provide is, in terms of identities, fluidity, because you basically construct your identity there and you enter there and you can be whatever or whoever you want. Basically, you can choose your skin color, you can choose your gender, you can choose not to have a gender, etc. So for sure it can contribute in the long term, but I believe that it has to be acknowledged by the people who are experiencing it, who are practicing it, who are joining the virtual events. It's just because mostly people tend to look for fun, as in the old days, and just don't care about whatever different experience it can provide, but just listen to music and dance and socialize. But there are some other aspects, if we pay attention, as the performers or audience or the organizers or the builders of that virtual places, as if we pay more attention to the promising features of VR and virtual reality, we can for sure achieve some positive, we can achieve positive things in the long term, to put it simply.
You also played in online VR environment, which was Mozilla Hubs. And I'm wondering how you felt. Could you felt yourself adapted very quickly? How was your experience?
I played in Mozilla Hubs or other VR environments a couple of times during the pandemic, since almost like 8 to 9 months. And my first experience was luckily maybe the best in terms of the people I worked with, because they were really encouraging and they were into VR technology, the organizers. They helped me to understand what can happen in a VR rave and what are the pros and cons, and I felt adapted very quickly, actually. But this was the case as a performer. So the first VR event I played was kind of a festival that many performances happened. Mine was, as far as I remember, the third. And after that, I joined as an audience, and it was kind of discouraging to have some problems. It actually created some boundary because I didn't have the VR technology, or my computer wasn't, or my internet connection wasn't enough to hold supply this VR environment to my home. So as a performer, as I said, it was pretty easy, because as a performer, you also have this kind of enthusiasm, at least in my case, to do a performance, and you know that people are going to listen or watch. So with that enthusiasm, I maybe somehow overcame some of the boundaries. But as an audience, I questioned the first event I joined, and I still kind of question most of the events I'm joining, because for the sake of my fieldwork and thesis, I am continuously joining VR events like almost every week. And it is still something that I'm having hard times, basically, as an audience.
Okay. So for today, that's it. Thank you again for joining this podcast.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. I'm grateful that you provide me some space for talking about my current research. Great, thanks.
PUC is an open, blur and edgeless space, and all the colors, shapes, sounds which opens new routes in our imaginations will be delicately, genuinely put by the artist into this space. For this episode, Buci Bilgiç is with us. She is a dancer and content creator from Istanbul. This won't be an interview in real time. She will be shortly answering the one-sentence questions which may let us know her creative sparkles or her pooks. Also, we will be listening her soundscape recordings. Now, we are entering the planet of Buci.
Hi.
What do you think about PUC?
When you first told me the name of your podcast, you also told me the meaning of PUC. It reminded me this meditation style which I've been practicing for 1 year so far. When people teach this meditation and they make an analogy, you breathe in, you breathe out, and you put a number at the end of your each breath. It's similar to letting a stone at the surface of the water. So when you first told me about PUC, it reminded me this analogy, and it was a good coincidence. And coincidences, good coincidences, are like miracles. They're like magic.
The meaning of your name?
The meaning of my name is smelling good. It's an adverb.
The last thing which inspires you?
Actually, a lot of things inspires me nowadays, but in order to pick a headline, I would say eroticism inspires me. I connect with people from this channel of eroticism, and it's new to me in a way. But it really empowers. It really empowers.
Dancing and watching yourself in the mirror.
Dancing and watching myself in the mirror is like the meaning of my life. It's like it's a purification. It's my deepest ritual. I don't know what I would do if I don't have a mirror in my house. I mean, it's everything to me. It's the only time that I feel deeply myself. It's better than sex. And I can exaggerate more and more, but I really like it. I really admire it.
A little pleasure.
Okay. A little pleasure. While I'm crossing the Bosphorus with a ferry nowadays, I climb to the top floor and I pick a song which touches my heart that day. I put on my headphones and turn the volume to its highest and I listen the song with an open heart and with a wild wind, because it's so windy and cold nowadays. But it really feels good. It really feels like, you know, this iconic Titanic scene. But I'm all alone, and this feels so wild at heart.
Good.
While you're cooking, what you're thinking?
When I cook, I don't think about anything, actually. At least I try not to think. And most of the time, I count. For example, when I chop the carrots, I count like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And when it reaches to 20, I start from the 1 again.
A passage from a book that you like.
And the paragraph which I want to read today is from the text the uses of the erotic by Audre Lorde, and I begin. The erotic functions for me in several ways, and the first is in providing the power which comes from sharing deeply any pursuit with another person. The sharing of joy, whether physical, emotional, psychic, or intellectual, forms a bridge between the sharers, which can be the basis for understanding much of what is not shared between them, and lessen the thread of their difference.
The thoughts about archiving artworks.
Not only in terms of artworks, but all material that I've collected so far is very useful and inspiring for me because, when I see them, I see the feelings that I've felt so far, and I see the work that I've made out of these feelings, and it's very touchy and inspiring for me. But apart from this, and they're like the source of new material. I can reuse them, I can appropriate them, I can collage them, I can do whatever I want with them, because they are the witnesses of my life, they're witnesses of my process, my creativity, and they're always ready for me to use again.
The question that you are asking to yourself repeatedly.
The question I ask myself repeatedly is, do I see things as they are, or I reflect my ideas upon them? It's an important question for me, because even I like reflecting my creativity and ideas upon external reality, objects, people, or whatever they are, at the end I'm in the pursuit of real. But here I don't use real as being irrealistic, because being irrealistic for me is too much related with the material world. But apart from this material world, within the sphere of emotions and intuitions, being real, getting real as much as possible is crucial for me. I believe it's key to the authenticity, and I'm always making this reality check.
Thanks to Burcu for sharing her books, The Sounds from Her Planet. I make an open call to the other artists from Turkey and based in anywhere, but also after a few episodes, artists from all geographies for sharing their habits, rituals, thoughts, which are connected with their creative processes. In other words, their books. Hey there, here I am with the fourth episode of Puk. I will be infiltrating another person's life again. She is Dilan Perişan. She is a Kurdish artist from Turkey who lives in Milano. She is an installation artist and a sculptor. And now we are entering into the planet of Dilan. The meaning of your name?
Well, that's an interesting question, because my name is Dilan. Dilan means love and two hearts beating together in Persian. In Kurdish, it means festival and kind of collective dance which we generally do to celebrate something. But my surname actually is a bit interesting, because in Turkish it means miserable. Actually, the state gave this surname to my stubborn, rebellious Kurdish family after the surname law. It's kind of assimilation policy, but I find it always funny because it means mostly like love is miserable or something, if you think about. But I really like the fact that in Italy it doesn't mean anything but an artist name, which is my name. So I like that how things lose the meaning when the context change.
What would you tell to yourself to calm down after getting angry with someone or some situation?
I feel ashamed of myself when I get angry. I usually get angry at injustice, but because I don't want anger to cause anger, I always transform my anger to art. Art for me a constant dialogue between me and things. In that case, anger can provoke magic and alchemy. It can change my thoughts and it can, how can I say that? Like, it can open up new dimension which I can analyze the situation and question the notions which make me angry.
Time is something you do or used to do which is considered to be weird by most of the people in your life.
Yes, sometimes I can ask question which seems a bit context-free. I mean, irrelevant with the context, but they somehow very related with the context for me. When I do it with my art, it's okay, but in real life, it looks a bit weird. So, yeah, and it can cause existential questions. And also, for example, sometimes I do things which looks a bit weird. For example, there was a period I used to go to school with my luggage, which is full of my material, because of I didn't want to compromise one to another. I used to go to school with my luggage, and people were thinking it was a bit weird. So, yeah, this is the examples.
Tell me 5 objects that you have collected until now with the attributions you give to them.
To be honest, I don't collect objects. I collect my garbage and mostly I use them in my artworks. Actually, I transform them and with my care, they end up artworks, some kind of sculpture, let's say. But my garbage, like when I care them, I want them to be an object and I ended up with a sculpture. My intention is transform my garbage to something else. Give them another possibility to exist. When I see my garbage, I start to think about the fact that I don't know where they come from and where they are gonna end up. And I feel the urgency to transform them and break their destiny. I also collect seeds from what I eat, such as lemon, orange, and things like that. And I germinate them, and when, you know, like they show up from soil, it's always amazing to see the transformation from seed to plant.
What kind of things that you do or think make you surprised?
I kind of reply that question, but like my art practice always make me surprised. When I start a work and I discover things, and I always surprise myself how I ended up with art process. Other than that, children make me surprised, or animal. Yes, it's like that mostly.
What is the question that you ask to yourself repeatedly?
For me, it's very simple question. I think everything starts with the word why. why it happened like this, why it's going like that. Why is an interesting question always?
In the year of 2100, people are visiting a museum for seeing your life history through the things which are left from you. What are they looking at?
I hope humanity will survive until that day. I don't know if my items, furniture, things like that will remain until that day, because they are all of products of mass production. But some of my artworks is kind of Kinder Surprise for new generation. You know, that Kinder Surprise, there is an egg made from chocolate and inside there's dismantled toys. So these dismantled toys can be my garbage. So it's full of information from today, which they may not have that information at that time because of recycling. So the inside of my sculpture may have as much information as an archaeological excavation. Yeah, I mean, it could be interesting if they examine my sculpture like a mumia.
How would you hack a disturbing seriousness, an awkward silence, and a boring formal conversation?
I would say it's up to situation and up to context. I can't give generic answer in that thing, but it's important to be creative when we are in dialogue with people. Yep.
What does look like a fulfilling dialogue for you?
I frankly don't know what a fulfilling dialogue means, but I would say it's important to be in dialogue. Dialogue always spawn new hybrid things. For example, everything is in dialogue in nature. Actually, I think my work meeting with the audience might be a fulfilling dialogue for me, because it's something which I practice, and yeah, it can be.
Let's change the format now. Ask me whatever you want.
My question is, what does a dialogue mean for you? What does a fulfilling dialogue for you?
Recently, I watched a documentary which is named My Octopus Teacher, and the documentarist was visiting an octopus throughout 1 year, and day by day he established a very unique communication with her by insisting in knowing her, in learning from her, and by being aware of how also she was changing with this kind of encounter in her way, how she was communicating, how she was establishing a dialogue in an octopus way. And I think this dialogue between this octopus and this human was very fulfilling. Thanks to Dylan for her books and her question. I make an open call to the other artists from Turkey and based in anywhere, but also after a few episodes, artists from all geographies for sharing their habits, rituals, thoughts, which are connected with their creative processes. In other words, they're books.